Greetings and welcome, all you commanders, eagles, and angels. This is Rainbird, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the hard news on Friday nights on BBS Radio Station 1. We are so grateful you are joining us, and we'd like to take a few minutes to go into our heart space and set the tone for the evening. So let's take a few gentle breaths. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth, slowly, intentionally, as we go into our heart space. We gather with our guides, our guardians, our ancestors, our spirit teams, our totems, and there's a council fire. It's in the center. Let's gather around that council fire in that virtual way we know how to do. Coming close. Make that perfect circle around that fire so we cover all those directions. And today is an 11 Kimi, which is the white spectral linker of worlds. And we have the Kimi drum. So we're going to take a look at today in the Mayan calendar or record of days, and take a look at the week ahead, and then we're going to do a little bit of a drumming for the Kimi with the Kimi drum, and to go into our dream space and take a little journey. So here's what we've got today. It's an 11 Kimi. This spectral tone is releasing, liberation, and dissolve are its three keywords. And Kimi is the world bridger or the linker of worlds. And its three keywords equalize, opportunity, and death. So here's the mantra for today, the white spectral world bridger. And it's a double Kimi day because it's an 11 tone. And when we do that 11 tone, it's also the tone guide. So it's a double Kimi. I dissolve in order to equalize, releasing opportunity. I seal the store of death with the spectral tone of liberation. I'm guided by my own power doubled. So the destiny pattern here, the tone guide is Kimi, the support guide is the Skywalker bend, and a challenge teacher today is Keeb the warrior. Our occult guide for the day is the Skywalker men. So, and let's just go through the week and or look at Kimi a little more. This is a warrior aspect, and it's about forgiveness and moving into a state of grace. So we are the world bridger, and we're bridging between the past and the future, and we're working with that gift of transmutation. So this is a time to let go of that which is no more. Let go of the ego, the controlling behavior, or any belief that life is a struggle. And then moving on to Saturday, which is the 4th of July, and we recognize the birth of this nation on that day. And celebrate the grounding of that constitution in Iroquois tradition and the workings with the native people in how they inspired our democracy and our republic. So we have this Monique energy on Saturday with this, and the Monique is a healing quality or aspect. And its work is about healing itself and others and creating contentment and peace. And it's about acceptance of the divinity of ourselves. So we have these gifts of being that healer of humankind and that ability to open new doors. So we're letting go of any distraction or belief in inadequacy or any procrastination as we embrace these unique energies on this 4th of July holiday. Let's keep all that in mind. And then moving on to Sunday, or Saturday, it's a the blue crystal hand. It's a 12 manik, or Lamont. Did I read the wrong one? No, I didn't. Manik is for Saturday. This is Sunday. Lamont. Okay. So this Lamont energy is a visionary aspect, and it's Sunday, so it's a 13. It's the cosmic stargate. Oh, how perfect. We got the cosmic stargate and the visionary aspect. So we're working with an illumination of humankind and opening that stargate and embracing that gift of journeying, that pioneer spirit, and being able to see beyond the gate. So let's let go of any dissonance or any self-doubt as we embrace these energies on Sunday. And then on Monday, we begin a new wave, and it's the wave of Muluk and the moon. So we're working with that magnetic tone, and that's a beginning aspect, that tone. And Muluk will be that wave that we will have for 13 days, and we're working with an artist aspect with Muluk. And it's about that wise use of rational mind. And it's about accepting spirit's direction. And it's about our contact with spirit. So we're remembering what we came here to do and what our work is, and remembering that universal mind is our mind, and telepathy is how we communicate. So we're letting go of any insensitivity or attachment to Owens or any self-doubt as we embrace these energies and work with that beginning energy with the magnetic tone. And then moving on to Tuesday. It's actually a portal day. It's a two oak, and the two oak is the white lunar dog. And that's also the 7-7 portal, so we're working with that energy, and it begins the third quarter of the moon, so we have that square going on. Oak is an artist aspect. It's the dog, so it's about unconditional love, and it's about healing the pain of the past. So we have that gift, that contact with our spirit guides, our awareness of our destiny, and our awareness of our past lives. And we have that loyalty to humankind that dog brings us. So let's let go of any fears or any unwise use of anger as we embrace these energies on Tuesday. And it is a portal day as well, so it's multidimensional, as is Wednesday, which is a fortune, the blue self-existing monkey. And so that's another portal day. So Tuesday and Wednesday are portal days. And then going on to Thursday, we'll look at this monkey energy on Wednesday. This is an artist aspect, and it's about balancing work and play. It's about attract paying attention to clarity of mind, and it's about that wise use of magical artistry. So we have these gifts of the innocent, some spontaneity, that ability to play and laugh and lighten up. So let's let go of any insensitivity or jadedness or resistance to compassion or any mistrust as we embrace these energies on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, it's a five ebb. No, it's a four ebb. Two, 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 five. So this is a yellow self-existing overtone. No, all right, human. And it's a healing aspect. It's about the enlightenment of humankind, and it's about activating cosmic consciousness and tuning to spirit. We have the gifts of being that human servant warrior with this energy of the human ebb. It's a gift of abundance comes right with it in our contact with other dimensions as well. So let's let go of any dependence on the analytical mind as we embrace these energies on Thursday. And then on Friday we come back. It's the red overtone Skywalker or five Ben. And the Skywalker energy is a warrior aspect. So we're working with focus and striving towards self-illumination and clarity. And we have these gifts of strength and an ability to bend dimensions with this energy. So let's let go of any resistance to faith or any belief in aloneness, and we'll talk about that some more. Let's go into our heart space again as we have a little bit of drum activity with this drum, and then we'll do the housekeeping when we're done. So, yeah, go into your heart space, close your eyes, let the beat carry you, and this will be about 5 minutes, so you have time to go and come back.
Thank you.
So just stay wherever that drumbeat took you. If you take a few minutes to do the housekeeping. As we are a listener-supported radio program, it's all of us that make it happen. And each week we need $184 for our fees with BBS Radio. And here's how we do it. Go into your heart space, see what is yours to give, then go to bbsradio.com. And as you see the schedule there at the top of the page, we're on radio station one. You look at that schedule, you see it's listed as the hard news. And it's listed at the 8 o'clock hour on Friday night. Click on that icon that's there and use your bank card to make a donation in any amount. We have a program on Saturdays on radio station two. It's at the 3:30 hour. These are central times. Find that listing on the schedule for radio station two, 3:30 Saturday, and you will see the icon there. Click on it. It takes you to our account. Use your bank card, make a donation in any amount. Thank you for taking that action. We're so grateful. And we hope you join us on Saturdays as well. So we're also assisting Tara and Rama with their needs. And this week they need a Windstream bill that is due. It's $176.34. And they also need living expenses, $200. And they have a phone bill that's due, and they'll be changing, so I'm not sure how that works out, but they need $100 to cover their expenses to make the move to a better service that won't cost as much. So we're grateful to be able to do that in a good way. And so thank you for your donations. The way to do it is go to paypal.com, and the send address is Koran, Koran, 99999, four nines, at hotmail.com. And again, sending to Koran, Koran, 9999 at hotmail.com. And so what else do you need to know? As you're sending something, let him know, because he doesn't get the email for that, as is typically the case, because he uses another email for his mail, and that email address for him is Koran999@comcast.net. And so you can send him a message that you have sent something, so he knows that it's sent, that he's got getting something or has something there. So thank you for notifying him that his email is Koran999@comcast.net. Okay, so he has a mailing address too, if you would prefer to send a check or a money order. And oh yeah, when you do the PayPal thing, they'll ask you what it's for, and you just say it's a gift or a donation, and that's important so that there's not any extra charges. Okay, and so that's the side note on that. So here's the mailing address if you want to send a check or more money order. Ram D. Berkowitz, Ramd Berkowitz, Berkowitz, Post Office Box 280-280. That's in Santa Cruz in New Mexico. The zip code is 87567. I'll say it again. Post Office Box 280-280. Santa Cruz, New Mexico. Zip code 87567. So there you have it, all the information. We're so grateful for your generosity. We're grateful for all the ways that you show up in your lives. And this is a good way to do it. So 13 thank yous and honey in the heart. And I'm passing a talking stick. And oh my God, it has They have got the fireworks and the sparklers, and they've got everything out, all kinds of bird feathers and fairies and all the elementals. And they're dressed up as Native American. And so they're holding to the spirit of who inspired the birth of our nation with the concept of democracy and the republic. So we are grateful. And there's a lots of different flags, but they're all different colors because the world, oh, they got soccer people. There's soccer balls still rolling around in there. Anyway, the World Cup comes together, the world comes together. So here comes this talking stick, Tarun Rama. Greetings and welcome. There's a lot going on this stock, this stick, so handle carefully. The sparklers are burning. All right.
Very good.
Thank you, Rainbird,
Thank
so
you,
much.
Rainbird. Thank you,
Thank you,
everyone.
everyone. And
We are so grateful to be here to share the good news that we have a new heaven, a new earth, and this nation that we're celebrating 250 years of what the founding fathers put together with Saint Germain's help. That has to be part of the story.
absolutely. Saint Germain showed up to the founding fathers and gave them a little pep talk.
George Washington at Valley Forge met some of the galactics, and that's not talked about at all. The praying mantis people from Arcturus. And there's other stories I can tell. We have a bit of hard news here. This is Abby Martin. It's 31 minutes, and it's
So
this
we won't finish it before we go on our conference
great.
call. So we'll finish it before Mother comes through when we come back.
But this is the hard news. This is what's going on. At George Washington's time, he, after he became president, and I sort of forgot my history at that time, yet he said that we don't need standing armies at a time of peace. And they created the militias, but the militias in this country have gotten bastardized by the dark side. I'll just put it that way. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to read this 31-minute, 30-second piece with Abby Martin. It's titled, "The United States Military is Earth's Greatest Enemy," with Abby Martin. I am still blown away that Mr. Keshe told us that, well, first of all, Donald Trump doesn't, no president gets to declare war.
No, it's
Only
Congress.
Congress gets to declare war because they represent we the people.
Yes.
So this is it's treason. But on this episode of the Project Censored show, oh, what I was saying is that Mr. Keshe said 40,000 U.S. military have been killed in Iran. And I mean, Rainbird was, we were discussing it yesterday on our little get together yesterday evening with a group of us. And that by now it could be 50,000 dead.
And it's just, I have
That's
no
so
words.
unconscionable. It's unbelievable. Treason on top of treason. On this episode of the Project Censored show, we have documentary filmmaker Abby Martin of Empire Files, who is sharing the Izzy Award this year for her documentary, Earth's Greatest Enemy, about how the Pentagon is the world's greatest polluter and why we must all act to reverse the global damage caused by the United States military. Abby Martin is an independent journalist and filmmaker and host of the Empire Files. She is the director of the 2019 documentary Gaza Fights for Freedom and the 2026 documentary Earth's Greatest Enemy. All right, let's begin. We'll get as far as we can before we go to the conference call.
Okay, here we go. Let me see. Oh.
The military is so worshipped in our culture. It underpins the myth of American society, American exceptionalism, the benevolent empire. So if you dare question the premise of what the U.S. military is used for, how it's actually used to enforce this unsustainable, uninhabitable fossil fuel infrastructure that's killing every single person on the planet, right? That's taking everything that we know and love and robbing us blind.
Welcome to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff with Eleanor Goldfield. Today on the program, we are honored to welcome back to the show Abby Martin of EmpireFiles.tv. And Abby Martin is also sharing this year's 18th annual Izzy Award from the Park Center of Independent Media. Abby Martin's latest work is titled Earth's Greatest Enemy. It is a documentary about the Pentagon being the world's largest producer, and this is the work for which Abby is being honored at the Izzy's this year on April 22nd. Abby Martin has a long history of being an independent muckraking journalist, has been involved with many projects from Media Roots, has worked with us a long time ago, briefly at Project Censored, where we had the honor of meeting Abby before she went off to RT and created her own program called Breaking the Set, which was an extraordinary program that in many ways sort of took the mission of what we do at the project and highlighted stories that people really need to know about from the independent press, but the corporate media ritually ignored or distorted. Abby broke away from RT and started Empire Files with Mike Prizner a number of years ago and has done a couple of fantastic films, including Gaza Fights for Freedom. Abby also generously worked with us on the Project Censored documentary, United States of Distraction, Fighting the Fake News Invasion. Her latest film, again, is Earth's Greatest Enemy. And Abby, you have been on what's turning into a world tour, not just crisscrossing the country, but you've been all over showing this truly grassroots funded independent film. Abby Martin, welcome back to the Project Censored Show.
Thank you so much, Mickey. It is a true honor to be back with the fan.
So, Abby, let's get into this. You, a number of years ago, of course, this is a story that goes way back, a couple of Project Censored stories going back to the 1990s highlighted how the U.S. military empire and the Pentagon in particular were among the world's greatest polluters and now the greatest polluters. But it's a topic that didn't get much attention. And you recently, you've been screening the film all over. Fortunately, you've been really getting around quite a bit showing the film because it's not for commercial distribution. But I want you to talk a little bit about some of that as we go on and see how people might be able to support you and see this incredibly important film. But talk to us a little bit about sort of how you got started with the film and what the genesis of it is, and maybe thread some parts to it, because it's a very, very powerful story that you tell with various subcomponents that all tie together by the end of the film.
Mm-hmm. It is a very comprehensive story. It covers about 20 different topics that we try to interweave to really show this overarching meta-narrative about the U.S. military imposing and enforcing global capitalism at the barrel of a nuclear-armed gun. And it's holding the world hostage. You know, going back to Project Censored's original reporting on the Pentagon basically omitting its own military emissions from these global climate treaties. This is something that Project Censored has been reporting on for years. Project Censored also reported on Barry Sanders' original book, The Green Zone, which kind of synthesized this data 20 years ago. So Mike Prizner, my partner, and I in the Empire Files, we wanted to take on the totality of this problem, not just the lacking of data when it comes to actual military emissions, but the comprehensive nature of this problem, which is the cumulative total of legacy contamination when it comes to Agent Orange, nuclear radiation, and the continuous, right, nuclear testing that's going to be done at the next gen nuclear weapons. And then, of course, the military emissions. All we know is what the oil purchases are on paper. And you extrapolate that out, it becomes completely unquantifiable when it comes to the actual life cycle and the application of the weaponry. And then, of course, the maintenance of a global military empire and just the arsenal alone without even the application of the weaponry becomes completely insane, Mickey. And the amount of pollution and toxic dumping just to maintain this useless machinery for these pointless patrols 24/7.
So, Abby, and you, again, definitely point this out in the film and show there's some disturbing footage for sure of these kinds of things happening, sprinkled with, of course, a dark sense of humor for coping, because you really are in the middle of the military monster, the machine, and you literally went into the belly of the beast. You were going to defense contractor, war contractor conventions. You were trying to talk to people at the Pentagon. You were literally chasing people around, wondering why they didn't seem to have time to ask questions when they were standing idly by moments earlier. Once they found out what you were maybe asking and they're trying to figure out, is this political? pretty amazing. But explain to some folks here, explain that, just the fact that you were actually able to make this movie by getting, it's like impenetrable, like even getting information and trying to talk to people and find out what's going on. It's extraordinary that you were able to get the information you did.
Well, yeah, there's two kind of dueling narratives. One of them is that the military is this overarching, ubiquitous evil that it's a shield, right? No one answers questions. It's this hive mind. We need the oil. We need the minerals. Don't talk to me. Basically it's impenetrable, like you just said. But then there's this other kind of contradictory aspect of just how stupid, you know, it is and how easily it is to penetrate the force. So they don't Google me. You know, I'm able to get into these weapons contractor conferences. I'm able to get on the RIMPAC warship in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, because it really is kind of the stupidity of evil, like the banality of evil. I mean, these people just really have no idea what's going on. In some cases, they've never even questioned their own role in this thing. You know, I'm talking to one woman at a weapons contractor conference who's standing next to this massive drone. And she's just like, this sounds political. This documentary that you're doing sounds political. And I'm like, you sell bombs. Like, that's as political as it gets, lady. So I think the whole documentary, it's trying to basically do something that's so counterintuitive in the system that we live in, Mickey, which is, you know, I mean, as someone who's worked with Project Censored for so long, it is so difficult to cover subjects like this and get institutional funding for it or get celebrity backing for it, because it is so taboo. The military is so worshipped in our culture. It underpins the myth of American society, American exceptionalism, the benevolent empire. So if you dare question the premise of what the US military is used for, how it's actually used to enforce this unsustainable, uninhabitable fossil fuel infrastructure that's killing every single person on the planet, right? That's taking everything that we know and love and robbing us blind. That's unacceptable. So it's been a huge grassroots endeavor to try to tell this story in an investigative fashion, again, counterintuitive to the way media is consumed and portrayed. So it's been a huge task, a gargantuan one, but I think it is so necessary right now because it's the most important issue of our time, Mickey, and it continues to get even more existential as we see Trump as the true face of the American empire now.
And they're calling for $1.5 trillion for a military budget for next year. And you know, Abby, when telling the story, you wove together so many important components of just how U.S. militarism affects all life on Earth, right? Not just humans. You spent time looking at literally the ecosystem, the environment, animals, marine life. You walked on the glaciers with Dar Jamal. Where that extraordinary part where you were there and then you said that the landowners, the people that like owned the glacier or something, were like you said they're throwing a party on its carcass. It's just interesting because we often don't think about things in that frame, yet it was a very obvious and accurate reporting of what exactly was happening right beside you. it's that kind of, this is what's again kind of interesting, is that when you see how obvious this kind of destructiveness is, you can't not see it. Yet so many people spend so much time not wanting to see it in the first place. And I think that, you know, again, we had just shown the film not long ago. You were with us at Ithaca College last semester, and the students were really blown away by the film. It was really impactful. You showed it again at the Finger Lakes Environmental Film Festival the other day. Here I'm talking to you now on April 6th. And there were people in the audience who were lifelong convicted environmentalists, people that, you know, were attuned to the issue. And I was actually kind of blown away that several of the people after the film, they were so shocked by how much they learned from your movie. And so even people that might be attuned to this and think about it, they don't connect the dots with Empire the way that you did in your 2-hour film. So maybe you can talk a little bit more about, you know, the significance of how you connected the dots, and you like you tied it from, you know, everywhere from Okinawa to Cop City, right? And of course, Gaza, right? So there's so many dots to connect here. Maybe we can talk a little bit about some of those and people get the idea. And certainly we want people to get out and see your film.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we've always done with Empire Files. You know, taking from the vein of being basically educated through Project Censored with you know, critical media literacy, we wanted to provide a holistic and systemic framework of understanding of how we got here and how it actually impacts every single person on this planet. You know, you can start with the obvious notion that pollution has no borders. I mean, look at what we're doing in Iran today. The intentional targeting of oil depots, the systematic destruction of infrastructure. This is a carbon intensive, concrete is one of the most carbon intensive materials on Earth. The intentional just pulverization of miles long, densely populated infrastructural, you know, civil, infrastructure, and then rebuilding it, right? All of these people are going to profit on this. So look, as an environmentalist my whole life, Mickey, this has always been such an obvious notion to me that the wanton destruction of the planet, the ecocidal nature that is a consequence of unfettered U.S. imperialism. But I think as we've all been watching the Gaza genocide in 4K, we've seen it real time. We see the ecocide happening. We see that the million olive trees just completely obliterated. What is that going to do in this once biodiverse, rich wetland that Gaza once was? So, of course, that juxtaposed with the destruction in Iran, the black rain, the acid rain, this is going to affect the entire planet for generations. So this movie is hit at the perfect time. And again, weaving together what used to seem like these disparate issues, right, that have been so abstracted from us, intentionally so obfuscated by the corporate media. This is the full intent, to keep us siloed, to keep us in our lanes, to keep us thinking that if we're environmentalists, and if our passion is whales, then, well, that's just not, we don't have time for this, right? Not understanding that if you're passionate about marine life, then you have to be an anti-imperialist because they're killing the whales too. That's what sonar does. So Cop City directly impacted in terms of the increased militarization of the police, because when you're looking at the system as a for-profit corporation that continues to have to grow, it necessitates growth on a finite planet. Infinite growth is necessitated. Well, what does that mean? That means you need to just continue to dump your military surplus equipment in the hands of the Taliban and ISIS or in local police forces across the U.S. And what's that going to do when you give MRAPs and LRADs to Alabama police? They're going to start killing people and executing people in the street. That's what we see with ICE, with DHS, these institutions that didn't even exist 20 years ago, Mickey. So again, it's just the complete increase, the need to continue to grow, even though you withdraw from places like Afghanistan. The budget continues to go up. So this is killing service members, because the maintenance of just the arsenal alone, the maintenance of 800 to 1,000 military bases around the world, the amount of oil that's being dumped, the securing of those routes, right? The fossil fuel arteries in the Middle East. That's why Israel is subsidized by the U.S. So every single issue that we look at in the world today is a direct result right? It directly correlates to this gargantuan beast, the elephant in the room that we refuse to address. Because like Barry Sanders says in the film, this excellent philosopher, he says, see what you see. Don't be duped. See what's right in front of your face. They are hiding the reality that we are children of a military empire that's parasitically sucking our life force and draining every last drop of this country, right? Every single cent of our labor is going into an extractive industry. It's a death and destruction spiral, and it needs to be stopped, Mickey.
So, Abby Martin, we'll get to some of the things we can do about that and some of the prescriptions we have a little bit in our conversation. But one of the things that just came to mind when you were pointing out some of these issues and these connections is that a lot of us, we try to do what we can. We try to recycle. We go to paper straws. We try to do renewable things, right? And a lot of this has been heaped off as individual responsibilities. And I'm not suggesting that individuals don't have agency and, shouldn't be part of a solution. But the reality is that you and I are doing a lot less of this, a lot less of the polluting and soiling and destroying of the world versus the fossil fuel companies versus the militarization, not just in the United States, but across the world. And that's such a lopsided presentation that corporate media, I mean, they always push it back on it too much. It's the consumers and you can do this. And if you just, recycle your cans, everything is cool. The reality is, in fact, very, very different. And I think that's a pretty good point that you've made on some of the talks you've done around the screening.
Absolutely. I mean, the onus has been on the consumer. This is capitalism. They have sold our struggles back to us. It's a hoax. It's always been a marketing hoax. We know that the recycling scam came from essentially Coca-Cola and like soda companies. I mean, this is the plastic bottle industry. This is insane, right? That we bought into it for so long. I mean, we were hoodwinked by neoliberalism. And now I think there's a moment where it's all been exposed as the hollow, bankrupt institution that does nothing for our material reality, that's obfuscating us from the real perpetrators of these environmental crimes. Mickey, who is enforcing this? The fossil fuel industry has an army. It's the U.S. military. So I go back to this idea of individual responsibility. My whole life, I'm obsessive, I hyperventilate when I see single-use styrofoam and plastic bags. The fact that these things are even legal still, that they're allowed, right? That they don't even biodegrade. I mean, this is not our fault. This is not our fault. We have to get back to the mindset that we can only do so much as individuals, right? And we do what we can with whatever capacity we have. I'm a militant composter. I'm not going to stop doing that. There's not a grain of rice that leaves my house if it's not in those little green bags. But what is that going to do? It's not going to make a dent at the end of the day if my government is blowing up a mountain in Okinawa and landfilling a beautiful blue coral reef just to make money, right? They're killing everything just for profit, for short-term profit, so Jeff Bezos can have another yacht. So this is the collective insanity that we've accepted as normal, Mickey. And this is another important thing about the documentary. It's a status quo time capsule. This was pre-Trump. This was when we were at brunch. This is why it's so important to watch this documentary and understand this. We're not going back to this. The status quo is death still. And so we need to wake up to what incubated Trump, to what precipitated Trump, because this is the inevitability of this system.
Abby Martin, you mentioned before the break that this predates Trump, predates the current Trump administration. You talked about how a lot of this buildup continued while folks were at brunch during the Biden administration.
We need the wrap.
But it goes back much, much further. Of course, a lot of the things that you were talking about, like the 1033 program, giving excess military equipment to the domestic police, happened in the so-called war.
Okay, we'll finish this when we come back from our conference call. All right. So...
very intense stuff. The number is 720-716-7301. And the PIN code is 353-863-POUND. See you there.
Namaste, everybody. See you
Namaste.
At the conference. Greetings.
Greetings.
Okay, we need to make a wrap-up of what we've been listening to with our sister Abby Martin. So we'll continue that, and then Mother will come and visit us, I am sure. So
There
let's
we
see,
go.
we have 13 more minutes left. Here we go.
On terrorism. ICE came out of the so-called war on terrorism. Suspension of habeas corpus came out of the so-called war on terrorism. Massive bloated military budgets came out of the war on terrorism. But we can go back even further if you want to go back a century to Smedley Butler, right? The one of the most decorated Marines in U.S. history that called himself a gangster for capitalism, that basically said his job was to invade Latin American countries and make them safe for investment, for banks to take over plantations and fruits and take over natural resources, right? And then of course that he wrote a whole pamphlet on that called War is a Racket in 1935. You go after that, you know, the very beginnings of the CIA very quickly began overthrowing places like Iran. Well, that's in the news. Guatemala, right? And Iran specifically was about for control of petroleum for what became British Petroleum, for God's sake. I mean, and then that leads up to the blowback of the Islamic Revolution of 1979 that we've been dealing with ever since, after killing, you know, having 1 million people die in the Iran-Iraq War, where the U.S. funded both sides. History matters, and this background matters. And just like Americans can't seem to find places like Iran on a map until you bomb it, they don't really know the history of it either. And corporate media don't want to give the history and the context because it might humanize some of the people involved, or it might villainize the actual perpetrators of the violence that has created and perpetuated this. So maybe jump in here on, let's jump in on that narrative, especially because let's remember that it was Israel that was launching the attacks and the U.S. launching attacks, you know, on the heels of what's been going on in Gaza since October 7, 2023. But of course, that goes back all the way to, you know, 1948. So history does matter. Let's jump in here on a point of that narrative, on that timeline.
Yeah, I mean, look, we had a huge history section in the film that incorporated Smedley Butler, how we got to this permanent war economy, you know, basically on the ruins of World War II while Europe was a wasteland. You know, the US basically concentrated all the military power and decided to produce it all here, and we became basically the home of all of these defense contractors who made a racket, made a killing off of killing. So there's a really important, and it goes back even further, of course. I mean, the first extraterritorial military bases were always to secure fur mining, oil, and coal. So this has always been a priority of national security, fossil fuel, right? And it's necessitated the expanse and continued growth of the military. In terms of the history of Iran, I mean, this is such a crucial historical cumulative narrative that we need to really take into account here, because people have asked me today, what is the point? What, why is the US doing this? If they weren't dragged into this war by Israel, what is the US gaining from going to war with Iran? Well, one need to just look at the 70-year attempt to completely destroy the state because of the pillaging and plundering of their oil reserves. This is a country that has the third largest oil reserves in the world. We're coming off the heels of blackbagging a sovereign leader from a country with the first largest oil reserves in the world, Venezuela. So as you mentioned, this was explicitly laid bare 70 years ago with Mohammad Mossadegh. He wasn't even a leftist. He was just an independent, unaligned leader who wanted to nationalize his oil supply. And that was completely forbidden for U.S. hegemony. And so, of course, one of many coups taking place at that time to overthrow him. And of course, again, backing this brutal dictatorship that was a torture regime. And the only reason the hostage crisis happened is because Iranians thought the U.S. was going to do it again when they had a revolution. So all of these things don't happen in a vacuum, you know? And then, of course, the Iran-Iraq War, looking at who the U.S. backed, this bloody, brutal war that took 1 million lives, right? We knew what Saddam Hussein was doing. And of course, we overthrow Saddam Hussein. The sanctions, asphyxiating, suffocating sanctions regime starts in Iran, where we're crippling the ability for elderly people, for infants to get medicine, killing people. Again, it is just savagery. Mickey, absolute savagery. And the way that the corporate media frames all of this, it's a defensive war, right? By a rogue, genocidal, nuclear-armed state. that is committing wars in every one of its neighboring territory, and it bombs Iran, we join in, and that's a defensive war. That's a defensive war. And so all of this, you know, everyone just basically saying, oh my God, how dare Iran hit all these Gulf client states that we're using to bomb them? I mean, it is infantilizing. What do you even say at this point when we've been gaslit for 3 years about the Gaza genocide? And they're doing the same playbook here in Iran, systematically destroying infrastructure, hospitals,
schools,
just wantonly. Yeah, schools, the 165 schoolgirls the first day. Crime upon crime, war crime upon war crime.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate. It doesn't look like it's near being over. We just saw the lunatic ramblings of Trump over the weekend, Easter weekend. Expletives galore, you know, basically saying, well, you know, you ain't seen nothing yet, kind of bravado. I mean, this is a maniacal recklessness that, I mean, even if we've had many, many, many imperialist presidents, and we've had, you know, many bad things happening under all of them. This is a special kind of unhinged that we're dealing with. And the fact that we don't seem to institutionally or societally be able to address even what's happening, let alone slow it down or have just a ceasefire and a stop, is actually very alarming. And that the corporate media seem fecklessly engaged in the promotion of just, oh, well, we're going to save the helicopter or the helicopter pilot or the pilot they shot down. No discussion really about how they're destroying the bases that we built around that country in the first place. They're attacking the multi-trillion dollar chip economy, the AI economy, right? So Iran is doing what it can do, right? It can't go bomb and invade Washington, D.C., but it can peck away at all the bases that were put around it, threatening it for years and years and years. And they can close the Strait of Hormuz, which Trump was explicitly warned about prior to this happening and claimed he had no idea. Abby Martin.
I mean, we are dealing with an unprecedented threat. I mean, it does feel like this is the Fourth Reich, except the Allied powers are nowhere to be seen. In fact, they're helping make this happen. They're subsidizing the genocide. They become the doormats for the charging forward of the new Nazism, which is Trumpism with his colonial outpost. That's an absolutely genocidal maniac regime. It's terrifying, Mickey. I mean, the fact that the corporate media is kind of placating this, they are legitimizing Trump by just normalizing this behavior. They're not acting with the urgency that they need to be. They're not shouting from the rooftops. There's no attempt to impeach this man, institutionalize this person. Where's the 25th Amendment? Where's like the sit-ins from Congress being like, this is an emergency state? It shows you how terrified people are. They are all cowering in fear to this tyrant. Look, I'm a political science major. My whole life, I just thought checks and balances, they're all going to hold each other to account. No, it's all just based on decorum. Someone gets in there and they just don't respect any other branches, and they become basically de facto dictator, and everyone bows down to them and kowtows to them because they're scared of losing access, of losing jobs. And this is what we get, Mickey, this is what we get. Feckless European leaders who are so scared of being tariffed, sanctioned, that they're willing to destroy the planet for self-preservation. It is beyond mad. And like you said, yes, we've had horrific imperialist bloodlust as a continuation of what else have we? I mean, this is the entirety of the United States of America. But there's something very profound about this moment where we're hearkening back to the days of Christopher Columbus. Naked conquest, right? Pillaging and plundering, explicitly stating we want to steal the oil. We're going to do whatever we want. We're going to take Cuba if we want it. But at this point, we're all just watching it like it's a reality show. It's the worst episode of Black Mirror. You cannot script this. It's so hard to wrap your mind around that this is actually happening and no one's stopping it.
Yeah, it's remarkable that we certainly, where is the anti-war movement, right? We certainly need to see a reprise of this rather than no more kings and back to brunch. We really need to see sustained general strikes in order to make any kind of a dent or an impact, one would think. But, the history of that in this country is a little bit a bit spotty, to say the least. But Abby, we have a few minutes left, and I had the pleasure of seeing the film and seeing you interact with, you know, audiences a couple of times. And one of the questions that comes up is, well, what can we do to not be defeated, to not be deflated, to not be demoralized in the face of what we are watching? We are seeing this, and some of these things are happening directly, of course, to our brothers and sisters around the world. And you've given a consistent answer that I've heard a couple of times. And one of them I thought, which was really important, which was, we need to stand together. You know, we need to love each other. We need to have a consistent message that's happening and that we are pushing back. Because the power, that's one thing that the powers that be, that's one thing they are afraid of. They're afraid of solidarity, and they're afraid of people not just kind of becoming aware of what's happening, but talking to each other about it and daring to do something.
Indeed. I mean, the richest men in the world wouldn't be working to further consolidate the media if the propaganda war weren't everything. I mean, this is paramount. It is a war on your minds, like Alex Jones said, except we didn't know he was, we knew he was controlled opposition the whole time, but he was right, right? This is an info war. This is a war on reality. So this is the thing. We spent 5 years making this documentary as a tool for consciousness expanding, as a tool for movement building. It is essential that we show this documentary to everyone that we know and love, everyone who's reachable, to reorient ourselves in the framework of anti-imperialism, the framework of international solidarity with our brothers and sisters living under the boot of the system everywhere. And the thing is, it is going to come back to us. It already has. Everything that we're dealing with in the United States, the conditions of our material lives. I mean, this is all impacted by this out of control global military empire. So even if you think it's not impacting you, it is. And so I always encourage people, support organizations, join organizations, follow journalists that you know and trust, follow institutions like Project Censored. Let us do the work for you to navigate this increasingly confusing media landscape so we can tell you what's going on, so we can hold power to account. So support those journalists, support those institutions, and also be a human being. Fight with love, fight with empathy, and fight with humility. Right? We don't know everything, but what we know is we need each other, and we need each other to lean on in these increasingly difficult times. Stop being brain rotted at home, feeling like you can do nothing, and stop being paralyzed with fear. Because what you're not seeing is the success stories, the data centers that are being shut down, the divestment campaigns that are succeeding across the country, and the mass mobilizations that are sustained all around the world. People who are putting everything on the line just for a chance, to win this thing. So do what you can in whatever capacity you can, but do it and say it loud and proud, and be armed with the truth and be confident and empowered with that truth.
Well, Abby Martin, your film Earth's Greatest Enemy gives people a lot of knowledge, and with knowledge comes power. And so would definitely urge folks to try to see Earth's Greatest Enemy. You can learn more at earthsgreatestenemy.com. There's a detailed schedule there. Abby, I know you and Mike have been showing the film all over and trying to do as many personal appearances as you can. You can learn more too at empirefiles.tv. Abby Martin, any other last minute things you'd like to share with the Project Censored audience? How else they might follow you or get in touch or support you in any way?
Yes. So we're trying to still raise money for the licensing for the film, and it should be out in May if we get that raised. Also, we're putting out a film called Cuba After Castro, the first ever interview with Miguel Diaz-Canel and a U.S. journalist, which is me. Again, coming at a very, very urgent time, both of these films. So I encourage everyone to get involved, support them, set up screenings, and please, all hands on deck. You guys, we are all in this together. Thank you so much, Mickey, for having me.
Abby, it's been my pleasure, and congratulations again on being one of the winners of the 18th annual Izzy Awards, given out April 22nd this year on Earth Day. And we'll be sure to catch up with you again. And again, hope your film goes far and wide. Certainly something that we need to be thinking about as we move forward. Thanks again for joining us, Abby.
Thank you, Mickey.
Okay, that's Earth's Greatest
Enemy.
And where do you go? You go to abbymartin.tv.
Empirefiles.tv.
Empirefiles.tv?
Yes.
I didn't hear him say that at the end.
Empirefiles.com. That's how I found it.
Well, we're going to find the whole documentary. This was in April 4th. The whole documentary should be there.
Yes, I could go and rent it.
Oh, rent it.
Yes, $10. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's continue now. We're going to have a little moment here. We're going to give Mother a chance to come visit us through Rama. Okay, just a moment here. Get that thing to make the sound, the crystal with the then the light.
The most
of the most radiant one.
In the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ, we
We
invoke
the
the
loving
loving energies of Saint Germain and the Divine Flame.
We ask at this time, Mother, in this moment of the night before the 250th anniversary of this country, that democracy builds, as Abby Martin was saying, and others are saying, I'm hearing it all day long on Free Speech TV, that we have the power. The power is in the people.
The people have the power.
That's right, Patti Smith.
Yes.
Greetings, Mother.
Greetings, children of Ra. We are in most auspicious times, and the gauntlet has been handed to us. We are the ones that can shift this now. All it takes is one.
What did you say, Mother?
All it takes is one.
One of us.
Yes, it is the power of love. This supersedes all else going on. We are one family of living love, living light in this present moment. All the issues of the day are up on the table in our faces. The people of Earth have chosen peace rather than war. And it is taking place at this very moment as they try to push with the old timeline. It's not working. The things that are going on at this very moment is about compassion, graciousness, gratitude, love, as we greet each other in this sacred hour of this small d democracy, they call it. You have words in this realm, your elder statesman, Bernie Sanders, speaks of this as social democracy,
Right.
not this idea of.
The young people that are running in the primaries are identifying themselves as social democrats, and they're winning across the country.
Yes. Corporations do not serve anyone except themselves. That's why they need to be removed. We haven't yet.
seen an ethical corporation on this planet that is about this funny stuff that you can't take with you in the fifth dimension and higher. You create what you need, want, desire out of the quantum field, and it is amazing to behold everything that is going on right now is about the old systems shifting, changing. They are obsolete, no longer needed. They serve no useful purpose. We can tell you with great certainty, they are pushing right now to create the foundations for the Borg right now. Sam Altman, ChatGPT, Claude. Not sure what to say about your AI on this planet. It is not working with the office of the Christ. It is moving things closer to this idea of a hive mind, the Borg. We already have seen this story millions of years ago during the time of the Orion Wars. We are not doing this again. You do not need an artificial brain, arm, leg.
They're talking about AI taking over humans.
This is what William Henry speaks about, that the AI, Greg Braden, why do you want to replace this temple of living radiance that
We lose
does
our rights to the AI. AI just does has no emotion.
no?
That's a problem.
Yes, ultimately, it is a black hole that goes nowhere. This is why we're here, along with the millions of other galactic forces, to see it through. Ascension is at hand. You have the greatest gift. We all have the greatest gift. This temple cannot be killed, cannot be destroyed, cannot destroy living spirit. All these things that are happening right now is about taking away your power and giving it to false creations. This is what happened long ago when our wayward children came as so-called benevolent creators, lied to you all. We are speaking of the Anunnaki Nephilim, the fallen Elohim. Yet it is coming to an end as we speak, because the people have the power now, and they're deathly afraid of you, like Abby speaking about. As we come together in a unified consciousness, there is no power on this planet that can stop it. We are the ones that asked to show up on this particular timeline, this day, coincidentally, maybe not coincidence, that this falls on your 250th anniversary of this revolution, evolution. Your founding fathers talked with us, walked with us. We are still here. They are here in one form or another, your founding fathers. It is in the voices of the people, like Bernie, like AOC, like many others that are coming forward and saying, now is the time. Peace is.
Yet we can see in the primaries.
Oh, blaze the violet fire.
What we can see is that we're building a team of younger people that are coming into the government and in the primaries.
Yes.
And the people have got Trump's number. The
Yeah.
majority of the people have got Trump's number. I still hear every so often somebody would root for him, but that doesn't make any sense to me. I feel like something, he doesn't look well.
He is not human. That is a holographic program, like the dog.
Whether we know that or not, the people in general, they can just see that he does not look well when they see him on the TV.
No.
He looks very unwell.
Blaze the violet fire, send more love. That's how we get through this. Compassion. It's our greatest gift. And for them, it is their, let's say, epitaph. It is about love. We best be on our way so you can hear Lord cry out.
Well, we've got till 4-2. We've got okay, we can go and listen. But is
Yes.
there anything that we should contemplate until we see you next week, Mother?
Contemplate this. Right now, all the ascended masters, angels, teachers, guides, we are all here in your midst. That goddess, Lady Liberty, Lady Freedom, sitting on the top of the Capitol, Goddess Columbia.
Lady Master Liberty.
S. That represents what is taking place. Long ago, our wayward children came here. They tried to control the planet. They're still trying. She cannot be controlled. She is of her own. It is a symbiotic relationship between you all, us, the inhabitants of this planet. Symbiotic relationship. And it cannot be broken. We are greater than we can even imagine at this time. All you need do is your sadhana every day. Work with the divine radiance that is pouring forth from Creator Source, the quantum field. When you slow down enough and just listen, you'll hear it.
Christine, the light of the most radiant one. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai Sabaoth. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai Sabaoth. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai Sabaoth. Eliyahu, Eliyahu, Eliyahu. Yod-Heh, Yahweh, Adonai, Vasu, Baragas. Namaste, Mother. Namaste.
Oh,
Greetings, Rama.
greetings.
You're back.
Yes.
Thank you. Mother's got some more to do. She's got miles before to do before she sleeps.
Yes, she does. Many hours of work.
Where did you go while Mother was here?
Just working with the energies in this local area to lift up the frequencies so that peace prevails. No funny stuff going on, except more expanding love.
No more war.
No more war. And here we go with Lord Kryon,
What does it say? That's the title.
what do you know about crystals?
All right, let's do this. This is 15 minutes, everybody. Here we go.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. We find ourselves today with a group of light workers in the Wagner Crystal Mines in Arkansas. Arkansas contains the second largest deposit of crystals, you might say, next to Brazil. And they are open mines, and they sit here and beckon you to find the little crystals that are everywhere, some of them not so little. So the subject, of course, would be crystals. But I want you to get ready for it to be a little more elaborate, perhaps a little strange, not to the light workers, but to almost everyone else. What do you think you know about that which is crystalline, that lays in the earth, almost always with six sides, ready to be then discovered, perhaps shown, taken home? What do you really know about crystals? So you start with the science that has been known for a century or more. My partner, the man who sits here, when he was a little child, one of the first things he wanted was a crystal set. This was a radio receiver. And in order to have the frequency of that receiver, he had to have a crystal. That's why they call it a crystal set. The actual beginning of the understanding of reception, of frequency, and you needed a crystal. And so he sent away for it. In those days, you waited quite a while, and in a number of weeks, the crystal came. He was really expecting a crystal set. What he got was a crystal with two wires connected. So what he did was learn to make a crystal set. And that was the beginning of what he will say was his nerddom, which is just the expression to say he was interested in science. He's interested in the electronics of it all, and he made himself a crystal set. Now, I want you to just back up for a moment and think of this. The crystal was the heart of all of that because it had a set frequency within it that was forever. It came out of the ground that way. What does that tell you about the nature of crystals? The first thing I tell you is that crystals can hold frequency. Yes. Now, here is something else that is known by science. Almost everything is energy. Science is now understanding that there's a lot more things to categorize as energy than they ever thought before. It was in the early 2000s that they finally had evidence, good evidence, that the consciousness of humanity was actually energy. Different consciousness was found to be able to push things around, including the magnetic grid of the Earth. So suddenly, consciousness, which couldn't even be defined by Plato, at least they knew it had energy. Now follow the logic. If consciousness has energy, therefore there are probably rules around it. And when I mean rules, I don't mean do's and don'ts. I mean the structure. Like the rules of physics, for instance, are given through experiments of how it works. Those are the rules of physics. There probably, therefore, are structures of consciousness. Now, so many of you already know that because you see it. You can see low consciousness. You can see high consciousness. And you start to realize that if you put it in this picture, what would be the consciousness of the Earth? What has been the consciousness of the Earth for decades, for centuries? And the answer is low. Humanity that would kill humanity for what it wants or needs is low. And you have seen and watched this over the eons. And everything that I have come for on this planet has been the revelation of a change of consciousness through the shift. Going to this year, 2026, watching things resolve, watching things change slowly to a higher consciousness on the planet. That is why I'm here, and that is indeed what you've seen. Now, there would be those who say, well, we don't see it much. You would have to go back, dear ones, to an older time to really see the savagery of old consciousness. You don't have that anymore. You stop the festival of having children come to a place and have a picnic on a lawn like this and watch a beheading. That's savagery. And that was what society did just 300 years ago. There has been an increase in the frequency of consciousness. Oh my, I just said something. Did you hear it? The frequency of consciousness? Back to crystals, just for a moment. Did you know that all energy has assigned frequencies? And I just told you that crystals contain frequencies. This leads you right away to ask some important questions, the what ifs. What if crystals could be programmed with the frequencies you want them to have? Now, here we get out of science into metaphysics. Let me tell you what happens when you take them home. There are those of you who are very sensitive to frequencies. And that is what you're sensitive to, dear ones. That's all you're sensitive to. You say, well, I'm sensitive to the energy of being in this area or that area or whatever. You're sensitive to the frequencies of the consciousness in those areas. Frequency is everything. All energy has frequency, and life force energy specifically has multiple frequencies. It's the secret of healing, you might say. Find the frequency, work with it. This is known. This is being worked with even now. But what I want to do is return to that crystal you take home. If you're sensitive to frequency, you're sensitive to the crystal. And you may take home a beautiful crystal. And you say, I'm feeling very comfortable around this. But one of the things you hear constantly is the crystal called to me. And the science will roll their eyes. Sure it did. Have a nice day. And you are immediately labeled as one of those who talks to crystals. What if you were a little more right than not? Let me tell you a little bit of how this works. The frequencies that the crystals are quite often resonate to you, your consciousness, and you find them, and you resonate to them, they resonate to you. You take them home, and that's when they change. Because they are then always receiving instructions, you might say, through the geological principles of crystaldom. They start receiving your consciousness, and they become friends. You know I'm right. I'm speaking to those who have crystals who you've named. How'd you do that? Yes, I've had this crystal for a long time, and finally he told me his name was Fred. And so Fred is here with me. I'll tell you what's happened. The crystal was programmed by you. It is absorbing your energy. It is taking that which is the best of you, dear ones, not the worst of you, and is emanating that in your house. That's how it works. How many of you have ever taken a home a crystal and said, I don't want that crystal anymore because it's one of the bad ones? This is the evil crystal. I don't think any of you have had that. And that's because it doesn't work that way. Have you ever thought about that? You have a benevolent energy in the ground. It's a benevolent piece of Gaia, and its frequency works with you over time. That is a programming of crystals. Now, when science figures it out in a better way than a crystal set, they're going to understand that you can program the frequencies of crystals to work together into a system of healing that is not here yet. Oh, there are some that are close, but they're not accepted. I'm talking about those who start working with crystals. How many frequencies can a crystal hold? Let me tell you what science tells you about crystals. It is really fascinating. Even a small crystal can hold data. Now, data, that's a little different than frequency. That's ones and zeros. But the enormity of it is that even a small chip could hold terabytes of information in one tiny crystal. What does that tell you of the power of the crystal to hold things that are amazingly large? What if a crystal could hold multiple frequencies and dispense only the ones that it needs to or you need at the time? Now, that's another story. This is a revelation about how powerful crystals are in ways that have not been seen or even discovered, thought of, because they're just too strange. What's the highest frequency a crystal can hold? What if I told you it went almost into light frequency? there will be a scientist coming along who's going to blow this wide open, who will say, you have no idea what crystals can do, how they can hold frequencies and dispense them, how they can be programmed, how they can be healing, how you can carry them with you and name them. So, dear metaphysical person, you are way ahead of the curve. It's only that science does not have that which will implement the things they need to see to experiment with a crystal. And the fact that they do not understand or even go to that place where they would think that a crystal could do those kinds of things. Times are changing. I want you to look at it again. Why is it six sides? Why isn't it five? Why isn't it seven? Nice number. And that is because the crystalline substance is married to the base 12 of the universe. Even the geology of the planet echoes this. And in base 12, there are many discoveries yet to be made. And I'll tell you, part of that is the frequencies of crystals. I want you to look at them a little differently. Could it be that there is a certain kind of force within crystals? The one that speaks to you as the human. Let's call it the Gaia force. The one that's come right out of the Gaia grid to greet you in certain ways. This is why so many are attracted to this geology. There is a symbiotic relationship between the Earth and you in so many ways. One of them is crystals. You're in the right place, dear ones. So I encourage you to think about this. Look at crystals perhaps a little differently than you did before. And yes, when you take them home, go ahead and name them. Fred is good. And so it is.
And so it is, everyone.
Yes, we're going to have to be on our way here.
Say aloha, everyone. Aloha.
Aloha. Satnam, namaste.
Until we meet again, we'll see you tomorrow, 2:30 Mountain Time, 4:30 Eastern Time, and we will do this again.
Namaste.
Peace. Peace up.